That left Huddy, Shirley, and me, plus the boy, of course. Curtis Wilcox's boy, who had come and mowed the grass and raked the leaves and erased the snowdrifts when it was too cold for Arky to be outside. Kurt's boy, who had quit off the football team and come here instead to try and keep his father alive a little longer. I remembered him holding up his college acceptance letter like a judge holding up a score at the Olympics, and I was ashamed to feel angry with him, considering all that he'd been through and how much he'd lost. But he wasn't the only boy in the history of the world to lose his dad, and at least there'd been a funeral, and his father's name was on the marble memorial out front of the barracks, along with those of Corporal Brady Paul, Trooper Albert Rizzo, and Trooper Samuel Stampson, who died in the 70s and is sometimes known in the PSP as the Shotgun Trooper. Until Stampson's death, we carried our shotguns in roof racks. If you needed the gun, you just had to reach up over your shoulder and grab it. Trooper Stampson was rear-ended while parked in the turnpike breakdown lane riding up a traffic stop. The guy who hit him was drunk and doing about 105 at the moment of impact. The cruiser accordioned forward. The gas tank didn't blow, but Trooper Stampson was decapitated by his own shotgun rack. Since 1974, we keep our shotguns clipped under the dash, and since 1973, Sam Stampson's name has been on the memorial. On the rock, we say. Ennis Rafferty is on the books as a disappearance, so he's not on the rock. The official story on Trooper George Morgan is that he died while cleaning his gun, the same Ruger that ended Mr. Dillon's misery. And since he didn't die on the job, his name isn't on the rock either. You don't get on the rock for dying as a result of the job. It was Tony Shane Dinks who pointed that out to me one day when he saw me looking at the names. "Probably just as well," he said. "We'd have a dozen of those things out here." Currently, the last name on the stone is Curtis K. Wilcox, July 2001, line of duty. It wasn't nice to have your father's name carved in granite when what you wanted, needed, was the father, but it was something. Ennis's name should have been carved there, too, so his bitch of a sister could come and look at it if she wanted to, but it wasn't. And what did she have? A reputation as a nasty old lady, that's what. The kind of person who, if she saw you on fire in the street, wouldn't piss on you to put you out. She'd been a thorn in our side for years, and liking her was impossible, but feeling sorry for her was not. She'd ended up with even less than this boy, who at least knew for sure that his father was over, that he was never going to come back in someday with a shame-faced grin and some wild story to explain his empty pockets and how come he had that Tijuana tan and why it hurt like hell each time he had to pass a little water. I had no good feelings about the night's work. I'd hoped the truth might make things better. "It'll set you free," someone said, probably a fool. But I had an idea that it had made things worse instead. Satisfaction might have brought the curious cat back, but I could make out zero satisfaction on Ned Wilcox's face. All I saw there was a kind of stubborn, tired curiosity. I'd seen the same look on Curtis's face from time to time, most often when he was standing at one of Shed B's roll-up doors in that sidewalk superintendent stance, legs apart, forehead to the glass, eyes squinted a little, mouth thoughtful. But what's passed down in the blood is the strongest chain of all, isn't it? What's mailed along, one generation to the next, good news here, bad news there. Complete disaster over yonder.